Welcome to the NewsHour. I'm Steve Lindman. We are doing something a bit different. I like to feature one guest for the hour for an extensive discussion of the topics be put on the agenda. Today, there's an additional guest because there was an overnight tragedy in Haiti. My regular guest is George Katsiafikas. Let me introduce him. He was visiting American professor of humanities and sociology at Chonam National University in Gwangju, South Korea, where he taught and did research on the 1980s and 1990s East Asian uprisings. He's currently Wentworth Institute of Technology Professor of Humanities and Social Sciences in Boston. He's also a Fulbright Fellow, a longtime activist, author of numerous books, including The Imagination of the New Left, Global Analysis of 1968. So we want to talk about East Asia and the two Koreas, but first, let me introduce Kim Ives. I did this very hurriedly 20 minutes ago. There was an immense tragedy in Haiti. I think most listeners heard about it. This is truly calamitous. Biblical, dare I say? Kim is a Haiti watcher. He's on this all the time. So, Kim, I welcome you to the program for a brief segment, top of the program. Give us an update of what you have learned, what you know as to what's going on right now. It's pretty new. It's pretty fresh. New information is coming in. But tell us what you know.
Well, it's, as you said, an apocalypse of biblical proportions. We have thousands of buildings in Port-au-Prince down. The National Palace has collapsed. The Montana Hotel, the Christopher Hotel, where the UN occupation force, the UN mission to stabilize Haiti, so-called MINUSTAH, was headquartered. Supposedly the military chief of the MINUSTAH was killed. Dozens of their soldiers and functionaries are missing or dead. Supreme Court was collapsed. Roads are collapsed. People are in stadiums in Laogan. The city of Jacmel has been leveled. It is a tremendous tragedy. The buildings in Port-au-Prince, everything there is done in a often a very anarchic way, and there are no codes, of course, for building. In fact, a school last year fell down on its own accord. These buildings have no steel reinforcements, so when you take the ground like a blanket and flip it, which is essentially what happens in an earthquake, these buildings just crumble.
It is truly shocking, Kim. It's almost like an atom bomb, maybe something bigger than an atom bomb hit Port-au-Prince and surrounding areas without the radiation, because I'm certain when a final assessment of the damage toll and the loss of lives, this will truly be a biblical proportion. This is something I can barely imagine. But, I mean, there's no power. Probably thousands of buildings have either been severely damaged or collapsed. My God, when the Supreme Court building comes crumbling down, the National Palace, heavily damaged, I think it's still standing, but heavily damaged, and it's affected well-off people as well as poor people.
Well, yeah, the National Palace, you can see the pictures of it. It will have to be raised. It's all buckled. It's literally on its knees.
Let me interrupt. We need to take a quick break. We'll come back in about five more minutes.
Okay.
Explain more of what you know. We'll be right back.
Attention, ladies. Dr. Arthur Perry is inviting you to participate in a nationwide giveaway of his Miracle Cream Night Skin. If you want smooth, firm skin with healthy collagen and elastin, you are eligible for a free 10-day supply of Night Skin, the skincare formula with proven results. Night Skin works while you sleep to even skin tones on your face and neck, exfoliate, and also reduce the appearance of fine lines. This one amazing cream does the work of four expensive products. If you want firmer, beautiful skin, and you're new to Dr. Perry's Night Skin, you're eligible to have a free 10-day supply rushed to your door. Here's how.
For your free 10-day supply of Night Skin, call 1-800-362-5848. You only pay shipping and handling. Call right now and ask for your free supply of Night Skin. Call 1-800-362-5848 and be sure to click on our banner at www.republicbroadcasting.org.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cardivite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cardivite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them, and what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect, and most of the other herbs in there I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut, it's working on the liver, it's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cardivite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cardivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Utopia Silver believes it is your God-given and constitutionally protected right to make your own health care decisions however you choose. You have a right to truthful information about natural alternatives for healing and preventing illness. We don't sell drugs or tell you just to ask your doctor about expensive medications that only manage disease symptoms and have side effects that lead to still more medications in an endless spiral. Instead, we provide you with honest information and quality products so you don't have to depend on drugs. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, but we also make and distribute some of the best colloidal silver, colloidal gold, and other top-notch supplements available anywhere. Take charge of your health and support our health freedom battles by visiting us at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIASILVER.com or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338. This is Ben Taylor, and you will be appreciated in Utopia.
Another 5 minutes and go through whatever else you know about what happened.
Hello?
Kim?
Hello? Hello?
Oh, yeah. Can you hear me?
Oh, yes. I hear you now.
Take another 5 minutes and explain whatever else you know about the tragedy.
Oh, yes. We're still trying to get through to our correspondents, the Haiti Liberté correspondents in Port-au-Prince. We have not been able to reach our bureau chief or our photographers. Much of the information we've been getting is through social networking sites like Twitter and Facebook. People have been posting things there. The Internet has been working in certain areas. Some people have been able to call out. We've learned that Jacques Mel was very hard hit. Again, the quake hit in between the mountains of Jacques Mel and Port-au-Prince, about 10 miles southwest of the capital, the center of the capital, and it was a very shallow quake, as people may have seen, only 6.2 miles down, which is considered very shallow and therefore extremely destructive. Even if the buildings were well built, which they aren't, I think you mentioned before, it's like an atom bomb without the radiation. But in many ways, Steve, there is a sort of a radiation which will affect. I know here in New York, after the 9/11 building collapse, it was very difficult to breathe because of the tremendous amount of dust put out by the World Trade Centers. You can imagine in Port-au-Prince, the entire city was blanketed in a cloud of dust from these collapsed structures. dust, which is extremely toxic. We have only to guess what's going to happen now with broken water lines and sewage. And so the aftermath of this earthquake is going to be also horrific, because all that infrastructure, which was already very feeble and fragile, has been destroyed. So I think the there is a form of radiation which will be continuing to make itself felt in the days and weeks and months ahead.
Well, I think that's a good point, Kim. And one other thing I'll say is, from the vastness and severity of the damage, I almost have the feeling that all of Port-au-Prince may end up having to be bulldozed to the ground and literally rebuilt virtually everything in the city. And, of course, in the poor neighborhoods like Cité Soleil, poor people live in cardboard and tin shacks. I mean, a stiff wind might blow over something like that. So, I mean, you can just imagine Cité Soleil is absolutely level, probably 100%.
And I think this really is sort of a challenge to humanity, because when we see, as it was announced today, another $33 billion to bring war to Iraq and Afghanistan, on top of the trillions that have already been spent on that, I mean, the resources, I mean, this is a country which is now going to have to be, as you say, rebuilt from the ground up. It is going to require vast resources, and I think the idea that we can be spending money on destruction rather than construction is just mind-boggling.
It's shocking, Kim. It is absolutely shocking. Try hearing a report of that through the major media, but that makes more sense than anything. For a fraction of what we spend killing people, mainly in two places, but we do it all over the world,
mm-hmm.
and of course we fight proxy wars and do it again, we could come to the aid of desperate people and help them during the hour of their greatest need, but that will never even come up in conversation. You know, we'll help the business folks, we'll help the rich folks, but the poor, which is 80-90% of all Haitians, fat chance that they're going to get much help in this beyond crumbs. Kim, I wish we could continue this. I will not let this story go. I know you'll be on it all the time. And anything more I learn, I'll probably update briefly on future programs.
Steve,
but I thank you very, very much for coming on 20 minutes' notice this morning.
Right.
I will watch for your report.
They want a site to send relief, which would be the Haiti Economic Relief Fund, which can be found on the HaitiAction.net site. That's HERF, Haiti Economic Relief Fund, and the HaitiAction.net site.
Oh, that's important. HaitiAction.net is easy, and I'm sure they can find out whatever they want to know there. But I would say this, if anybody gives aid, do it in a way that poor Haitians are going to get it. Don't let the rich folks get their hands on it, because they'll never give it to the poor. But I guess there are good relief agencies, Kim, that will get desperately needed aid to poor people who need it the most.
That's why I suggest that site, because there's going to be a lot of charlatans and corruption involved with the aid that will be flowing, and I think people should be discriminating and look for sites like the HERF.
Absolutely. Just like for the Asian tragedy some years back, the tsunami, the money that people gave thinking would help desperate people who lost their homes and everything else, it went to private development, building up areas they wanted to get poor people out of in the first place.
Right.
Countries like Sri Lanka, I think parts of Indonesia, Thailand maybe. My memory's a little foggy, but the money never got to the people who needed it. And I can remember posts in supermarkets where you could drop a few quarters in a tin to give to these poor people. They never got it.
Cannot underestimate the cynicism and rapacity of some of these businessmen.
Oh, absolutely.
Most of them.
Kim, I'm going to let you go, and we'll shift over to East Asian discussions. But I thank you very much on short notice for coming on.
Sure thing, Steve.
Thanks, Kim.
Hello.
George, I guess you took all of that in.
What a tragedy.
Oh, it is to hear.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it when I heard the reports this morning. It sounded like something I was reading in a bad piece of fiction. And there it was, and once in a blue moon I write about Haiti, and ironically I was working on an article right now on a different topic, and I'll add a section to it. I've already got a section drafted out on this, and I'll add more depending on what else is important to learn. But no people in the Western Hemisphere suffer more than Haitians, and I don't think any people on this earth have suffered more than Haitians, because their suffering has gone on for over 500 years. Literally, with only brief periods of relief, a couple of hundred years ago when they had their revolution and the years when Aristide was president, that was a change. They still never had a good George, but at least they had leaders who really cared about them and wanted to do something. And then when U.S. Marines yanked Aristide out of the country February 29, 2004, in the middle of the night, it was downhill all the way after that with fascists running the country. And the current president, we want to get off to East Asia, but the current president, René Préval, he served honorably in the 1990s. Now he's another imperial tool. Anyway, it's an awful situation. Change of gears. Let's talk about East Asia and the Koreas from your travels and what you looked at and researched while you were there. You were there for a good amount of time, and now you've been back for a few months, I guess.
2 weeks, yeah.
Oh, 2 weeks. Back. My goodness gracious. You're still a little jet lag, I would imagine.
A little bit. But, you know, we're comfortable, and we're here back in Boston. And following events from the distance gives a perspective on all of this that, you know, I somehow in Korea there is such a level of politeness and sincerity, and coming back to the United States I seem to encounter what I could call a form of cynicism about the possibilities that exist in the world. You know, high school students there get out of class at 10 p.m. at night and find their way back to school by 7:30, 8 a.m. the next morning, six days a week, sometimes 7 days a week. They're extremely hardworking. The news reports are about international situations. We come back to the United States, and we notice that the news reports are about weight loss. You know, even CNN headline news is running shows on weight loss. There's very little on international news that's going on. And it's quite a contrast to come back here.
It is shocking, George, and listeners to this program, of course, understand it very well, and they realize how broken and corrupted the major media are. Television, of course, is the worst, and it doesn't matter whether you're watching CNN or Fox or CBS. I mean, they're all the same. The cable channels are the worst because they go around the clock 7 days a week. The broadcasters have, I guess, morning programs, evening programs. I do a little media critique work occasionally, so I need to monitor slightly. It is very, very painful, and most of it I do muted out just to see where they're going and what they're doing. But even when they give you an international story, it is extremely misreported. They never tell you the most important things. They suppress that. They never tell you the whys. And they either feed you state propaganda or they feed you rubbish. And then so much of the time is taken up with what Project Censored calls junk food news. Weight loss reports, Tiger Woods, this kind of garbage. Who wants
That's
to know that
That's a good
that
phrase,
stuff?
Yeah.
We have to take another break, George. Then we'll come back and I'll let you continue.
This is an important message from HempUSA.org. For our listeners who are advancing in age, baby boomers, and to all who want to be healthy, we urge you to try our microplant powder and see the difference it makes in your life. please visit hempusa.org and read about microplant powder. It's easy to take, one heaping tablespoon in any liquid 3 times a day. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. Please inform your family, friends, and relatives about this incredible product. It can change your life if you give it a chance. So try microplant powder today. Call 908-691-2608. In this toxic world, microplant powder can help now in cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, viruses, fungus, and bacteria. Please download our catalog at hempusa.org today.
Is your child disrespectful, defiant, or obnoxious? Does everything turn into an argument with your kid? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman. I'll help you turn your child's behavior around right now with the Total Transformation.
After the Total Transformation, there's no more arguing, no more lecturing, no more back-talking. Now when I ask him to do something, he does it.
We've learned verbiage from the Total Transformation Program, and it's almost like magic. If you say those words, they stop arguing.
Defiance, back-talking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. The Total Transformation will help you solve even the worst behavior problems. I guarantee your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back in your home.
Call now and get how to turn your child's attitude around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-656-4806. 1-800-656-4806. Call now. 1-800-656-4806.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Back on with George Katsiafikas. George, I didn't know. I know that Asian students get a much more rigorous and good education than American students do here. And some months back, and I've mentioned it again in other articles, I wrote what I considered a major article on the destruction of public education in America. And it is really shocking because I remember the education I got back in the 1940s and to the early 1950s. I went to an inner city school that no longer exists. I got an education that got me into two top schools. That's impossible today. That is absolutely impossible today because we have wrecked it. We simply don't care. But the kids in Korea, Japan, I'm sure China, it's completely different. Oh, say more about the educational system in Korea. I mean, it's no wonder they're beating our pants off and will more in the future.
Well, I mean, the simple fact is that the communal experience, that is the spaces of public interaction, are highly valued in Asia, and they're not valued here. So if you look at not just the education system, but all of the infrastructure, the airports, the bus lines, the trains, the urban environment, even the social space. I mean, I was at Chinam National University in Gwangju, which is a sprawling, huge campus with lots of trees and wooded areas. And even after midnight, female students walking alone would go through these dimly lit wooded areas without any care in the world that they might be attacked, because public space has a dimension to it in Asia that is highly regarded. People wouldn't dream of dishonoring themselves or their families. And I think that's what's the motivation behind students working so hard. It's not so much individual advancement as it is to bring honor to your family and to the group that you are a part of. That's something that we seem to have really lost in the United States, is our group relations, our sense of bringing honor to the group that we're a part of, to our family. And I suspect that the individual-based culture that we have will make its way around the world as, you know, Americanization, we could call it, proceeds. But that in East Asia, they do retain this collective identity that is so important.
Oh, I agree. I agree, George. And I mean, that makes so much sense. I know thinking back to my own experience in my family, in my neighborhood, a very modest neighbor. I grew up in Boston, by the way. I grew up in Roxbury. My first few years during the Depression, my parents lived with my maternal grandparents in Dorchester. And then for 16 years, we lived in Roxbury. It was a wonderful area. It was a mixed community, modest, low middle income, but it was wonderful. Those were the years that I have the greatest memories for. And things were a lot safer than even there in those days. I never roamed around late at night. I was too young to do that. And I'm not sure how safe it might have been if you strayed a little bit too far away from the straight and narrow at a bad hour. Probably nothing like Korea. But during the daytime, I never worried about kids with guns in school or drugs or any of the things that plague inner cities today all over America. I mean, those topics, those thoughts never came up. There was no reason for them to come up. And teachers taught, classrooms had good decorum, and again, any kid who wanted to do the work, and I mean, it wasn't that, it's not like working until 10 o'clock at night. We had homework, so we did it. Anyone who stayed with it, I did, it was certainly manageable, could get into college, and college in those days, George, my God, a top university. I certainly went to one. My first year's tuition, full year, was $600. Today, the same school, it's over $30,000. And if you live there, it's over $50,000. Who can go there today? I never
That's
could.
Right. No, young people are graduating with so much debt from universities that it's really a shame, because basically what we're saying to them is your future belongs to the banks, to the financial institutions. But, you know, Steve, you hit on something that I want to mention, and that's the downside in South Korea to students working so hard. Imagine teenagers doing their schoolwork until 10 p.m. at night, going home, doing homework, and then getting up early and showing up the next day by 7:30, 8 a.m., and doing that 6 days a week. It leaves them no time to develop their own creativity, to have relationships, to do nothing, to relax, to sleep. You know, and on top of that, many of them, on the one day they have off, are learning English or learning to play a musical instrument or being taken to a private academy for math tutoring. It's just astonishing. And young people have begun to raise the problems that they have with that, namely that they don't have free time.
Kids need free time. Kids need to be kids as well as students. And I certainly had free time. I could go out on the streets and play with my friends or in the schoolyard, and at the same time have a full schedule and never felt overburdened. Let's take another break, George, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and, in some instances, your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Are you concerned about an economic downfall? Would you like to have more money to invest in precious metals, food, and safety of your loved ones? With the Debt Crisis Solutions Program, you can finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy. This is not debt counseling, settlement, or debt consolidation, which may have serious legal and tax consequences. With our program, you will not pay another penny to your creditors or collectors. Protect your home and bank account from any lawsuits and restore your credit history. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions and speak to an advisor absolutely free. 718-615-0123. Call 718-615-0123. 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back on with George Katsiofakis. George, let's talk a little bit about North-South Korea relations and the North's very strong concern about opening real peace talks with the U.S. It's astonishing to imagine, and I wonder how many listeners don't know this, but technically I guess we're still in a state of war with North Korea over the so-called Korean War of the 1950s. There never was a formal peace treaty. There just was a ceasefire, and we still don't have a legitimate a document saying we are now at peace with this country. North Korea, my understanding is, at least since the 1980s, wanted normalized relations with America, but we refused to give it to them.
That's right. And, you know, it's astonishing is right, because it's such a poor country, it's impoverished, and we're the world's largest economy still, and certainly the world's greatest military power, and yet we refuse to grant this small country a peace treaty, saying that we will not attack them once again. After all, the Koreans never attacked us. It was we who attacked them. The United States, under the auspices of the United Nations, destroyed thoroughly the entire country. And, you know, just as the Russians were paranoid that the Germans and the French might invade them again after having been invaded for decades or centuries, the Koreans, North Koreans, are extremely paranoid that the U.S. has hostile designs on them. And, you know, there's a long history to it from the Korean War to the present. There have been thousands of incidents in the sea and on the land. Now, what's sad is that the current South Korean government is trying to fan the flames of conflict with the Northerners in order to justify their own very unpopular government. You know, it's a tactic we understand in the United States that when a president is unpopular, he can somehow create a war to escape his own domestic problems. Well, in South Korea, there's a very similar situation going on. And the United States, in a sense, is being suckered into that by the South Koreans, by journalists in South Korea who are misreporting some of the events that are occurring, and as well by American diplomats who are not conveying, apparently, the full story to the Obama administration. The situation is so bad that some South Korean NGO leaders came to Washington to lobby directly in Washington to tell senators and congressmen that, in fact, most South Korean people want peace with North Korea, not continued conflict, and that a peace treaty would be in everyone's best interest. Imagine if the United States did not have to spend millions of dollars in the Northeast Asia region on a useless defense force that we maintain there. Imagine if South Korea and North Korea could reduce military expenditures. Imagine better relations with China over the Koreas. It's a win-win situation. Unfortunately, that's not how the American administration sees it.
Well, very definitely, George. And I think U.S. administrations, Obama simply being the latest, but the Bush administration, Clinton, back to Reagan. We need enemies, George, the same as South Korea, I guess, needs an enemy. In their case, it seems insane to me. My goodness, you've got two very powerful military countries with nothing but a border crossing separate them. South Korea may have 40,000-odd U.S. Forces there. They may have nuclear weapons. But if they launched an attack, a real attack on North Korea my goodness, artillery alone. I mean, they could cause devastation to Seoul. I don't know much about the technology of the weapons they have, but I have a feeling that they could throw a lot of firepower at Seoul and kill an awful lot of people.
Absolutely, I mean, it's unthinkable in a sense. And that's why the conflict that South Korea is fanning have been in what they call the West Sea. That is the sea to the west of Korea, between China and Korea. It's also the area where the United States is relocating its main base, that is, basing China. So they're heating up the area between China and Korea. There have been naval engagements over the years. Unfortunately, there was another one recently, and, North Korea comes out invariably on the losing end of these because the South Korean Navy has really high technology. But what the North Koreans have are sailors who are much more dedicated to their government, at least to losing their lives for their government, than it seems the South Koreans are. So, but in any event, this is a losing situation, in my view, for everyone, because it means only a waste of money in military expenditures and increasing fear. Here's a good question to ask, to think about. Why doesn't the U.S. want to sign a peace treaty? Why is it not in the interest of the United States to sign a peace treaty? That's a question that I think American politicians need to be asked. Why won't you sign a peace treaty with North Korea? What's wrong with a peace treaty if both countries pledge not to attack each other? And if you can then establish diplomatic relations through which the North has agreed to give up its nuclear programs and even give up its sale of rockets and missiles abroad, if they gain admittance to institutions of international capital like the World Bank, IMF, and World Trade Organization. In other words, if they can have a normal economy, they will give up the niche that is supporting them, which is weapons development and weapons sales. So why not do that? What's wrong with that? And again, as you say, Steve, the I think you and I have a sense, well, the United States needs enemies because we are selling weapon systems. We are the world's biggest seller of weapon systems. We want to sell missile defense systems to South Korea, to Taiwan, to Japan, who, after all, are three places holding hundreds of billions of dollars of U.S. Dollars, of treasury notes, and foreign reserves. So what better way to recoup those dollars being held abroad than to sell weapon systems to them, to sell those tens of billions of dollars of, you know, Patriot missiles, PAC-3 missiles? We need to create a rationale in the public's mind over there for their governments to be spending billions and tens of billions of dollars.
Very definitely, George. And also to make them, countries like Japan, South Korea, other Asian countries other than China, to make them more dependent on us, supposedly, for security. I have no idea why they need us for security. We cause them insecurity, not security. And they're not stupid people. They know what's going on. And the South Korean people, as I understand it, absolutely hate our military presence in their country, besides all the problems with their own government. And as far as the U.S. having relations with the type of government that North Korea has, not the one you or I would want to live under, that doesn't make any difference. We have relations with all kinds of governments. Some, I would imagine, a lot more roguish than North Korea.
Absolutely.
My God, Saudi Arabia. What a horrible country. Arabia is a country where they don't like people around who aren't Muslims, and I'm not certain how well they like Muslims, George, because they actually have an institution called whipping police. During the various times during the day when people have to be praying, if anyone is out on the street, they get whipped. What kind of a country is that?
And, you know, you talk about loving each other. Well, women aren't even allowed to drive automobiles.
That's right.
But, I mean,
any normal country would think, my goodness, didn't this go out of style a couple of thousand years ago? Well, not at all in Saudi Arabia. Well, all these other countries, some of the rogues who became rogues in our eyes were once valued allies. Saddam, for one, Shah of Iran, Suharto in Indonesia. I mean, these people were brutes, absolute brutes. And they stayed allies as long as, we needed them for a given purpose. But North Korea's purpose is to be a designated enemy. So we've kept them that way since the 1950s, and your point that I've mentioned a few times in some of my articles, they didn't start the so-called Korean War. The South Harry Truman was president then. Don't think of Harry Truman as a good president. Harry Truman was a war criminal. He dropped atom bombs twice on Japan months after they were negotiating surrender that we wouldn't accept. We wouldn't accept their surrender. So we dropped two atom bombs on them gratuitously, and people are still dying from the effects.
We have a free press in the United States, but how many Americans know that the Japanese offered to surrender twice under one condition? That was that they be allowed to retain their emperor as a figurehead like the Queen of England. So then after we nuked them and they surrendered, what did MacArthur mandate? That the Japanese emperor remain a figurehead as the Queen of England. That makes absolutely no sense, but Americans aren't even aware of that history.
Oh, they're not, and they're also not aware that the Japanese never wanted to attack us at Pearl Harbor, and at least well into November 1941, maybe a week or two before the event, probably within about a week, they were still negotiating with us in Washington. They absolutely never wanted a war with us. They wanted good relations. They just wanted some kind of a negotiated arrangement for them in Asia. Roosevelt turned them down flat, and my understanding is that well back in the 1930s, Roosevelt wanted a war with Japan. The history we're never taught, George, and we don't know, and we think that, the bad guys are those other guys, and we're the Sir Galahads riding to the rescue. Well, sorry. We're the bad guys, and they're the victims, of what we've done. And of course, we tracked the Japanese fleet all the way across the Pacific. Never warned the commander at Pearl Harbor, except to get the carriers out. We needed them, so we didn't want them bombed. But never warned them, so we let a few thousand kids die because we wanted to get into the war. And the next day, we declared war. And Germany had to declare war on us because they had a pact with the Italians and the Japanese. So Hitler, I'm not sure, I don't think Hitler wanted to go to war with us. He would have preferred us as a partner.
Well, at a minimum, the question that many German students asked me when I lived there is, what would have happened if instead of the Japanese attacking Pearl Harbor, if they had attacked the Russians in Siberia and linked up with the Germans? There would have been no Stalingrad, no turning point in the war, because the Soviet divisions that turned the tide at Stalingrad all came from the Far East. They would have been tied up with the Japanese. Eurasia would have been conquered by the Germans and the Japanese. Clearly, it would have gone to a guerrilla war against them. So it would have been a very different world that we inherited, I think, if indeed the war with the U.S. had not begun in 1941.
Oh, indeed. And even the fact that it did, George, Hitler made a terrible mistake invading Russia, tying up a few million of his troops that absolutely got in a meat grinder and were devastated because, I mean, the Russians had all kinds of people to throw at them and an immensity of geography that back in those days, my goodness, maybe needed 10 million troops to handle that kind of geography, not to mention the bad weather that made it almost impossible. And the Germans didn't know how to fight in that kind of weather, but the Russians, they were used to it. So if Hitler hadn't done that, he might have won World War II. That is a very disturbing cut.
There's big ifs in history. So I hope we don't one day say, if the United States had only signed a treaty with North Korea declaring peace, that we wouldn't have had a terrible tragedy befall Northeast Asia because of some other rash action that an American president might take.
Well,
that would be a real tragedy. You know, speaking, Steve, of the Sir Galahad complex, the situation in Japan is one that's been in the news recently. Secretary of State Clinton has been talking with Foreign Minister Katsuya Okada in Japan. Well, they met in Honolulu. The question is, where should the main United States base, military base in Japan, be located? And the Japanese are very concerned because in Okinawa, where that Marine base is located, there have been a number of rapes and violent crimes committed by American soldiers. And the population of Okinawa is incensed that they have been, in a sense, foisted upon by these U.S. military men who have just occupied so much of their island. Now, the new government in Japan, which has replaced 50 years of the same party ruling there, has pledged to take a firmer stance with the United States. But the United States, Clinton, Obama, don't seem to get it, that there's a big problem there. They just insist, well, we want the new base placed where we want it, and we want it done now, as opposed to saying we realize there is a problem. And we want to solve this problem so that everyone can come out of this feeling good about it. Instead, they're still basically saying, we are the occupying power, and we need a base of occupation. This is a major issue, and once again, I think the American media are not presenting it in its full light to the American people.
I don't ever remember hearing a report about Okinawa. Okinawa is this country, America, has literally expropriated the most valued land on that Japanese island, the poorest prefecture of the Japanese, and the Okinawans have been terribly exploited. They absolutely despise us, and that's right, George, rapes, murders, crime. You know, these young kids, they basically get away with anything they want to do. Rarely is anyone held to account. And no wonder the Okinawans despise us. Do you think the Japanese will have some backbone this time and finally get something their way?
Well, I'm not sure. The thing that, again, buried deep in this history is the fact that Okinawa was not part of Japan prior to the 20th century. It was an independent island kingdom. And as an, I stumbled into a show at a museum in Jeju Island, South Korea, about the kingdom of the Ryukyus, in which is now Okinawa and the other islands, the Ryukyu Islands near there. What a fascinating place that was, where people had incredible freedoms, lived communally, had abundance from the sea and from the land, and basically had a very matrifocal peacetime culture in their everyday lives. And yet, of course, with the 20th century and the conquest of so much of the world by imperial powers, the United States, after World War II, in its wisdom, held on to those islands, and then at a certain point gave them to Japan, rather than saying, well, you've been a kingdom, independent kingdom for centuries. Why don't we restore you to that status?
Oh, it is shocking and disturbing, George. Sometimes maybe people on their own need to be a little forceful. I never like violence, but do more on their own to assert their rights. Another break. We'll come back, and I'll let you wrap up.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer, and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Back with George Katsiofikas, a final segment. George, you remember the last time I had you on, you were in South Korea at the time, late at night, the next day, and we had a little problem. The power went out, except I didn't know it. We cut the breakers, or close to it, and I was cut off, and I wasn't reconnected. And as I remember, I sent you an email saying something like, I'm not getting reconnected. Would you please finish up the program by yourself? But you were cut off as well. And
I was cut off as well, that's
Republic
right.
Republic was down. I only found out after the program was over that they had a power outage. It didn't last too long, but we got wiped out of the last segment. Well, not today, apparently. Not yet, at any rate.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Let me let you finish up with some final thoughts.
Well, you know, the media in the United States is full of reports of China's rise, and the Pentagon has been attempting to construct China as an enemy of the United States and talking very much about China's military buildup. But the simple fact is China today has a GNP per capita of about $4,000 per person. You know, even South Korea is five times that at 20,000. And the U.S. is something like seven or eight times that. So even though China's economy might be growing rapidly, it's now poised to pass Japan as the number two largest economy in the world. The simple fact is that China as a power is far behind the United States and, you know, is gladfully and rightfully occupying its place in the middle of the world in their terms. Whether or not that should be construed as a threat to the United States is a very important question for the future of U.S. foreign policy. In my view, this country's decline is caused primarily by spending so much money on useless wars and military expenditures, so that if in the future we continue down the path of pouring our nation's resources into the Pentagon rather than into areas that create economic activity at a more robust rate, we will only see the country decline further. Europe and the Chinese, the industrialized parts of the world, are rising because they spend so little on the military. And yet there are very few voices in the U.S. Congress or in the current administration that talk about the need for conversion of United States industry. This is a major political question, and it revolves very much about our future relationships with East Asia. And yet no one is really providing an alternative view here, that namely we could live in peace with these countries, we could collaborate, cooperate, have great exchanges with them, just as we have with South Korea, Japan, and Taiwan. We could have with China, North Korea, with other countries in the region. It's really a question of political will. And the political will in the United States seems to be to misunderstand what is going on there, to not have accurate reporting in the media. So shows like yours, I think, are so important, Steve, because they bring out perspectives that American people just don't have access to.
George, we're out of time. I agree with every single thing you said. We absolutely have it upside down on what we could do to benefit the country and benefit the world the most, and yet we persist in doing the most destructive things. This was a wonderful discussion, George. I look forward to having you back again for more of it.
Steve, it's wonderful to have the opportunity to speak with people and to get to know you a bit.
Oh, thank you so much, George. And a lot easier for you time-wise since
you're
back in what I call a friendly time zone.
I am indeed, yes.
Thank you so much, George.
Okay. Have a good one.
And join us again tomorrow, and stay tuned for Ernie Hancock.
Introducing the new